Okay, let's be seated. It's Bible study session. We're expecting after a powerful program like the one we just had last week. I'm expecting a lot of experiences. We have a lot of experiences, and we should have a lot of questions too. So maybe we'll take a better part of tonight, hear your questions, and then also hear your testimonies, and go on with our prayers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the Jordan River. As he came out of that water, the heavens opened. The fullness of the Godhead poured inside of him. Amen. Hallelujah. And he became Emmanuel. Hallelujah. The Bible says he received not the Spirit by measure, because the fullness, according to Colossians chapter 1, the fullness dwell in him. But why I'm making reference to it is, you will remember that according to that story, it was after he received the Holy Ghost that prayer started. 40 days and 40 nights he was in the wilderness. Amen. So you don't relax because you have now received the Holy Ghost. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Amen. Now that you have received the Holy Ghost, there are three messages I have that you must hear. Amen. There are three messages that I have to preach as the Lord will give us time. Friday night, Sunday, any of them. One of them, I title it, "This is not your rest." The second one, I title it, "Enemies of Revival." We shall look at the enemies of revival. And the third one, I said, 10 lessons from the book of Job, from the story of Job. 10 lessons we learn from the story of Job. Because every one of us here is a Job. There are 10 stories, 10 lessons to learn. It will help us after such a program as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there are detailed sermons that we need to know. Amen. So I expect questions tonight. Any questions? Maybe about your experiences. You're confused. Or any of our teaching. Especially last week. Come forward. Come forward. Any sister, any question? The sisters received more anointing than the brothers last week. Amen. Now it's expected. It is expected because when it comes to prayer, you open up, the sisters open up their spirit faster and easier than the brothers. The sisters are more emotional than the brothers. They are lighter in the spirit. If the presence of God comes down now, they will contact it faster. Amen. Just as when the devil went to creep into the church too, that is the same way they enter. So we understand. Amen. Yes, brother, ask your question.
Praise the Lord. Sir, there is something that is confusing me in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 16.
Read it.
He said, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them, that sin not unto death. He said, there is sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Verse 18, we know that whatsoever is born, okay, praise the Lord.
So you want to know which is the sin unto death?
I want to know the one that is sin unto death. Why the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And in the book of Revelation 21 verse 8, it says, even all liars, fornicators, they shall find themselves into lake which burneth with sulfur and brimstone. Now, I don't know the one that is sin unto death and the one that is not sin, that sin not
unto okay. death. The sin unto death is the sin that is not forgivable here or hereafter. And that is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. When you see somebody commit any sin, you as a Christian, you can pray for that person. You can pray that God should have mercy on that person. You can pray and something will happen for that person to repent because of your prayer. But the sin that is unto death, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ says, it is not forgivable here or hereafter. We all know the sin of, you know, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So that is the sin unto death. If anybody commits such a sin, just know that he has sealed his doom. Nothing can be done here or hereafter. And what is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Listen, unbelievers don't commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. An unbeliever does not. Because we know the story, Matthew chapter 12. Let's see what brought about that statement. Hallelujah. See, Matthew chapter 12. Let me read it from verse 22. This is very, very important that we Christians should take note of this. Matthew chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, that is Jesus Christ, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Thus said the Lord. Now let me explain it further. Why I say unbelievers cannot, is you have to get the context of what is happening here. The Pharisees were religious people. They knew that he was not using a devil. They knew. Why do I say they know? In John chapter 3, Nicodemus was one of them. He came by night and said, "Master, we know." Who are the we? "We know thou art a teacher sent from God." They knew. So, now what happened is that Jesus Christ came and tore them to pieces. Attention was going away from them to this new thing happening. And to stop the people from going to Jesus, they formed that lie to say he is using familiar spirit, he is using occultic power, he is using devil. They know it is of God. But out of jealousy, they make that statement. That is the reason why it is called blasphemy. Secondly, that verse 32 or so says that every blasphemy, anything you say against the Son of Man, Jesus himself, it will be forgiven you. He said, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Now, you know better now. Who is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ in you after his death and resurrection. Now, what he's saying is, while he is in the flesh now, you can say anything you like concerning him, because that is his ministry. He came at that time to suffer. But after he has gone through and conquered death and suffered all that, and now came back as the Holy Ghost to continue his work of redemption, and you still persecute him because you cannot strike Christ a second time. Moses tried it. He didn't enter the promised land. You can only strike him once. Anytime you speak against the Holy Ghost, you are striking Christ a second time. It will not be forgiven. And remember, who were those that crucified Jesus? They were the Jews. They were not the Romans. They were not the unbelievers. They were his people. And they knew who he was. They knew he was from God. The scripture spoke about him. He came to fulfill the scripture. He said, search the scripture. You think, in them you think you have life. Say, for they are they that testify of me. So they knew. And that's why he was telling them, you can do that now that I'm still here to suffer. To suffer, shame. You can spit on me, cane me, kill me, call me anything. But when I have finished this, I come the second time as the Holy Ghost. You try that, it will not be forgiven again. So, and let me tell you that there are preachers, Christians today, that still commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost out of jealousy. They will see in the same church a brother God is using him. Out of jealousy, they'll be telling other people, now occultic power, now familiar spirit they use, now RNG. You know they say now RNG. And when you do that, you have sealed your doom. And that's why we tell the people, what you don't know, keep quiet. That's the answer. I know churches that call us occultic. They know we are not occultic. But they are afraid that their church will be empty to run and come here. They begin to say, that church, don't go there. They are occultic. They have sealed their doom. Yes, sister.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Please, Daddy, there's something I would like to know about the anointing of Holy Ghost. Though I have a testimony, but I just want to know how someone can control the anointing when the anointing of Holy Ghost came upon the person. Because what happened to me on Sunday, throughout, since Sunday to Tuesday, even up to today, I don't know how to explain to you. Because after the service on Sunday, I went home and I was praying for people, and the anointing came. But some people that didn't understand, they may think that maybe you have one kind of spirit or the other. And I was like, ashamed of myself because they didn't understand what was going on. Because it soon came upon me and I was catching everywhere. So I was trying to control myself, I couldn't. I just want to ask Daddy, because I want to know, I wanted to know about this, how someone can control the anointing, when the anointing is just, you know.
Amen. I understand. You are not the only one. So many people like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which is just that now. This one. You go fit, go through so. You go reach the end of the service today so. Praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to the manifestation of the Spirit, listen, church, because so many of you have the same problem. Depending on how God wants to use you, depending on the area God is going to use you, and God Himself chooses how to manifest Himself with you, the anointing that will throw you down, especially, that is the one most people complain about. When it starts initially, when it starts, that because it's supposed to be a sign to you that He has come, but your spirit is not yet used to that visitation. Your spirit is not yet used to that manifestation. But after some time, your spirit will be used to it. Then you'll be able to now control it. What the Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. After some time, you will get used to it. It will not be forever. It is only when it is starting like this. After some time, when the sign comes, you will know the thing will start. And you will comport yourself. Your spirit will now adjust. And that anointing will still be on you. You will feel the anointing, but now it will not throw you down. And of course, you can also, your own private prayer, tell God, make it take her easy now. Make it take her easy.
I used to do
this. Go beg her, take her easy now. Take her easy. I will yield. I will yield. I will not disobey. He hears you. Then He will cool it down. Cool it down. There's a young girl that used to fall seriously under anointing. And I remember I saw after last month or so, there was a very on a Sunday service, the power of God came down. There were a lot of manifestations. So after service, I saw her. I said, your dress is clean. You didn't follow the anointing. He said, Daddy, we don't mature now. Amen. So I said, okay. He said, he knew where it was coming now. She just adjusted herself. Say, she just controlled. We don't mature. So you won't be falling down. Always.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I actually attended the program last week just once. That was on the
Talk louder. Talk
I actually attended the program just once last week. That was okay. On a Thursday. So after the Thursday program, I and my friend were actually going home. So my friend, we're actually contemplating on the issue of arguing on the issue of manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the filling of the Holy Spirit in you. So he was actually saying some things that were like, how do you know the experience? I said, I thought that Thursday, the pastor was saying, giving an example. He mentioned a woman actually came out and said that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, does it mean all problems leaves you? Then you made emphasis on something like it doesn't necessarily mean. So I now decided to use myself as an example. Though even when I was saying it, I wasn't really sure within myself because they've been saying, what do you mean? How do you know this is the manifestation? So like I told him that about 2 years ago, I was having this experience when I was sleeping. Started from my sleep. I saw myself crying with joy and singing. Then I woke up, I could not control myself. Then it went on like that. For like days, I kept on crying and singing, you know. I was like, I told him, what can you classify? So he was like, he said, will you say that is manifestation or the outpour of the Spirit? Then I actually wanted to relate it again with the issue of when the gift of God comes on you, is it for a particular calling or a purpose? Like, how do you identify the very calling you have?
Sorry, I don't understand. That's
when the gift of God comes to you, the gift or the Spirit of God, how do you with the calling?
You know, when you take the microphone up.
All right.
I will not hear you.
I said when the gift of God comes in you, how do you relate it with your calling or the Holy Spirit in you? How do you relate it? Because why I'm actually asking this question is that I was saying to myself, is it possible one can have a calling of ministry of something like ministry of children? Is it possible? Ministry of children.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you a member of this church?
No, but I fellowship here.
How often?
I'm about 3 months old here.
How often do you fellowship?
Like Tuesday programs and vigils.
You know, why I say so is we've taken these teachings in detail.
All right.
And you must be very new. And even during that week, we still spoke about it. When you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a nutshell, because of you now, when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are going to talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost coming to dwell in you, that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost that dwells in you, now we manifest. That is the manifestation of the Spirit. You must have the Spirit first before there will be a manifestation. The manifestation is the evidence of the indwelling Spirit. Of course, we have the fruit too of the Spirit. And we have the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is the action whereby God manifest does something to let somebody know he is around. There is a God. Now, for somebody now, somebody watching you to know that there is God. Or for somebody having a problem to know there is God. How? He manifests. He manifests through the gifts. The gifts, 11 of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 11 of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All that word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the rest. All of them, discernment of spirit. They are all manifestation of the Spirit. Now, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a gift will manifest. That gift determines your ministry, or what the denomination as we say, your calling. But I prefer not to use calling. I prefer to use ministry, because every Christian is called to Christ for salvation, for redemption. Then, when you come, he gives you talent and says, occupy till I come, in Luke chapter 19. And when he comes, you will give account of what you did with the talent. The talent there is the gift he gave you. And among the gifts, there is no gift for children. To take care of children.
Okay. Why Ashley was saying this, I remember you saying one time that when the gift of God or when the Spirit of God comes in you, that you always have this passion for a particular calling. That there's this passion when you are doing certain things for the things of God.
No, it will only go along with the gift you have. Do you understand? It will, for instance, the gift of help, for instance. You can't be a poor man and have the gift of help. Do you understand? Eh? Before God can give you the gift of help, He gives you abundance that you will use to help people. A poor man cannot. He said he need help. Now, the same thing. I'm not trying to explain something to you. Praise the Lord. Now, one that is an evangelist, for instance, the office of an evangelist. Now, we have the leadership offices and we have the body gifts. The body gifts at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9, 11 of them, which includes help and administration. Now, then we have the leadership gift in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. They lead the body of Christ. Leadership. And I've always said, Ephesians 4:11, leadership offices, the women, it excludes the women. Women cannot occupy the position of leadership in the church. But the body gift is for both men and women. So, and if you have a healing gift, for instance, that gift goes with a body. Anytime you see a sick person, there's no rest. You will go until that person receives healing. That is the body that goes with it. But you can't have a body for somebody who is sick to be healed. And you don't have the gift of healing. And say you have a body for a person to be healed. You will pray from now until next tomorrow, nothing will happen. You must first have that healing gift first before that body pushes you to use the gift. So, but again, remember, as a servant of God, generally, God can send you anywhere. If you have a teaching gift, for instance, God can give you a body to teach children. So that is when you have to be a teacher to have a burden for the children to teach them.
All right. Sorry, I'm still in line with that question.
Yes.
I asked. You said have a burden to teach children. What I was actually asking this was because I was trying to identify something with myself, like we're actually fellowship. I used to have this passion for things that has to do with children.
That means you are a teacher. You must be a teacher. You must have that gift to be able to have a burden that way. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that I always have this.
That means you have a teaching gift or a teaching ministry.
Okay, that I always have this passion for them, wanting to be with them, and sometimes they come.
Anybody with children, huh? Are you going to have to play bolombolo with them? It's to teach them something. So you're a teacher.
Sorry, Pastor, my last question. That same Thursday, you actually saying something again. You said a woman came out and said, when the Spirit of God is upon you, that it means, does that mean that probably maybe all your problems is gone or something like that? So I used to remember you say something like, when the Spirit of God comes in you,
maybe
it takes away all...
What you are saying is that if you are born again, remember you are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
What you are saying is,
now that
you are born again, no more problem.
No, I used to remember you say something like the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it kind of does things that are extraordinary in you and removes problems and things like that.
No, you didn't hear me. Don't be me talking.
Then, okay, that same last
week. I didn't say so.
Okay, that same last week Thursday, you are now saying sometimes also, that the Spirit, if you've done things like you've prayed, you've done everything you need to do, and those prayers of yours have not been answered, and what will you... The question I want to ask that relates to that very one, like my own personal experience. Like, for example, there are certain things now I've been asking God to help to see me through. I've prayed, I've done everything, but interestingly for me, when the most interesting moment for me was that when I started manifesting some certain things about 2 years ago, that even up till now, whenever those burdens or whatever it appears itself, I find myself like maybe singing in the dream very regular.
What's so your question?
So my question now is that how do I relate that now? Is that probably the will of God that those burdens keeps holding on, or
your problem? There are several reasons why prayers are delayed or not answered at all. Several reasons. One, it can be as a result of sin. Secondly, it can be a result as an unbroken curse or an unbroken covenant. And thirdly, it can be as a result of your ignorance. And again, it can be because you are not praying according to the will of God. Because 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 says so. So several factors, and then finally I said it could be that it is God's hand upon you waiting for an appointed time. God telling you be patient, because according to his plan for you, until you reach a certain stage before it will happen. Just an example, for instance, we have Elizabeth and Zachariah. God had proposed that John the Baptist would be born at a particular date, and he chose Elizabeth to be the mother. And as long as that date has not come, Elizabeth will remain like that. No matter how Elizabeth pray and fast. In fact, from that story, they don't pray. So they decided they don't even pray again. They don't even want to begin again. Because when the angel came to announce to Zachariah, Zachariah said, "Amen, amen, amen, amen." A high priest, no belief, because they don't pray tired. The woman don't pass menopause. So which angel they talk? So God can decide that your blessing, that thing that he showed you, that is giving you faith to begin to ask and claim, that it will take place in 5 years' time. If you like, go to the mountain. If you like, do dry fasting. All you will hear is, the Lord will tell you, "I have heard you, I have answered you, my son." And you wait, you expect that immediately you come down from the mountain, the miracle will start. Instead, the devil will come and say, "You see, you know what? But you see, I heard him clearly, he said it is done." But that's how he was telling Abraham, "It is done." Hallelujah. And Abraham also lasted for 25 years. It is done. It is done. It is done.
Sorry, Pastor. Okay, lastly,
Always put other people into consideration when you are handling microphone so that we can hear everybody.
All right. Lastly, I still want to hit on that very point. Lastly, the thing I actually want to say, like, is my experience, like, maybe having things like bad dream. Whenever the bad dream comes, right from that dream, I'll be pleading the blood of Jesus or singing in that dream. So I keep asking myself, okay, I could say, okay, it could be a consolation from God, but why is it that God still keeps permitting that very thing happening?
I have explained it now. That's all I've been explaining to you now.
Okay.
God bless you. Let me hear, sister.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you. Go.
Now, I'm very confused of something. I want you to clear my thing. So, what if somebody have a message and not deliver the message? And when you are going, the thing will be disturbing you. God deliver my message. God deliver my message. And you not have the boldness spirit to deliver the message. If you offend or sin, God taps.
Now that's a reasonable question. That's a reasonable question. Sometimes you feel too shy or you feel unworthy. You see? Now, you know, the Lord gave somebody one talent. And the Bible says that when he came, everybody gave account of his own. That one person, I mean that person that had only one, did not use it. If you see the narration of that story, that person is saying, I don't want wahala. I don't want wahala, I beg. I keep your gift. Anytime you come, take your team. I know they for wahala. I know they make I fall under anointing. I know they make people talk, say, I know they. If I can't talk anything, no come pass, I know they. And me, I know they. I don't want me, I don't want me, I don't want to be minister. I want to go to school. I want to marry. I know they for all this one. I know they. Now that, and you saw what the Lord told that person. He said that person was wicked. Why is he not wicked? Do you know it may be a message to save somebody's life? And you didn't give, you are wicked. And it may be a message to comfort someone who is distressed. He needs comfort. And God gives a message to comfort that person. You didn't give, you are wicked. You see? But more importantly is that a true child of God, listen, especially in a ministry like this, we have tried to demystify this thing about ministry. Where some people think they present themselves because God is using them to make themselves look before others as if they are some supermen and women. We in this church, we have demystified it. In the denomination, they say you must go to a Bible school before you can be going to the ministry. But here we have taught you, we say the qualification for you to go in the ministry is the gift of the Spirit upon you. It's the anointing upon you. That is the qualification. And no man can bring you into the ministry. It is God that brings you into the ministry. So if God chooses you, it means you are important. If God left all your father's children, left all your friends, and it is you he is choosing, and then giving you the grace, the privilege to hear his voice speak to you, to make you see vision, he must have seen that you are the one capable. You are the one suitable. If God says you are suitable, why are you saying you are not suitable? You see? So in a ministry like this, we say English doesn't matter. Education does not matter. What we want to see is the accuracy of what you are saying. We will know which spirit is speaking if you say it comes to pass or you say it causes confusion. So, and now how do I do it? I'm just sitting there in the congregation. All these sisters and these brothers that the Lord is using here, they came like you all came. They all came to this church like you all came. The difference between them and so many of you is that they saw the grace of God and they let us know them. They functioned in other places in the church, and when I say let us know, it's not for you to come and say, Pastor, I'm a prophet. Pastor, they do deliverance. Oh yeah? Now maybe this, give me a microphone today. No. Hallelujah. When the light of God is upon you, you can't hide. No how. God will expose you. We know. We know those who are, you know, eye service and coming for some other thing. Those ones, they promote themselves. They will leave their seat and go to minister's seat and sit. And nobody told them to go there. They struggle for tag to wear. You see? No, not those ones. And those who bring out themselves, God knows how to pull them down. Now, how do you do it? From wherever you are sitting down, amen. Anytime you receive a revelation, pick a piece of paper and write it. Pastor, the Lord ministered to me that tomorrow somebody will dash you car. Eh? You will write it. Amen. I will collect it. Once you have written and pass it over to the pastor, you have given the message. He will leave you. He won't disturb you. You have passed it. If I don't give it, it's not between me and God, not with you again. You will be free. That voice will not disturb you again. So, I will not take it. I will ask, where the sister? Write her name. Now you, Ugo, wait till tomorrow. If tomorrow somebody dash me car, we shall say, that sister they see. That sister she they see. Amen. We note it. Another time again, he write another one. Hallelujah. He write another one. Pastor, tomorrow, Sister Eunice go marry. Where the sister? And are you again? Tomorrow, we wait Sister Eunice. We say that sister they see. Amen. That is how we see and we identify everybody. Write it. You don't know how to write. Tell somebody sitting by your side, hey, you sabi write. Say, hey, see what they see. Or you walk straight to a coordinator. Coordinator, I have message. Write it. Write it for the pastor. Or you walk to a minister and give it to a minister. The minister will put it in writing and pass it to the altar. That is how it is done. And there are some people that say, we cannot go that side. Let me not go that side yet. We never reach that level. Yes, brother. Or any other thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, what if you are walking on the road? One person knock you, say you should go and work for God. And anyway, you are going there. People are keep on disturbing you. In you, you don't want to work for God. There is something you are expecting not to do God.
So, what do you want me to say?
I'm confused.
They say, go and work for God, and in you, you don't want to work for God.
Yes, sir.
I have a story in the Bible, Jonah. And you wait now, one fish will swallow you one day. So when that fish swallow you, you go walk by force. Yes.
Sir, my question is from the book of Numbers. Concerning Balak and Balaam.
Yes.
When Balak sent his men to Balaam,
yeah,
the Bible says he sent them with the reward of divination. And I want to know what that means and who is this Balaam? Is he a sorcerer or an enchanter? So that's my question.
But the Bible describes Balaam as a prophet. But remember that a prophet is a seer. It's a seer. And there are many means by which people see. An unbeliever will have his means of seeing. And I want you to know the interesting thing about Balaam, which also explains a great mystery for us, is that Balaam was not a Jew, but he had the ability to contact the God of the Jews. We also have a witch called the Witch of Endor. She was a witch. She was not a Jew, but she was a witch at Endor. And she had the ability to contact the spirit of Samuel, a Jew. A Jewish prophet. You see? So that mystery itself, personally I have pondered over that. How is it possible? But you see, remember that every gift that you see in operation, whether it is divination, or whatever it is, sorcery, it is the genuine gift of God perverted. It is a genuine gift of God perverted, used wrongly. So you have to catch it that way. Yes, he was a seer. He was a diviner. Divination there. Divine, having to do with spirituality. So he was a spiritist. But he had the ability to make altar and call on the God of Israel, and God of Israel will answer him.
So what of the reward of divination?
The reward of divination is that, you know, the reward of divination is when you go to Babalawo, nobody goes to Babalawo empty-handed. The same thing too. The Bible says when you come before a prophet, you don't go empty-handed. That is it. They were going to him, and so since you need something from a prophet, you take a gift there. That gift is the reward of divination.
So my final question is this. Is concerning the
prayer. But it's only in this church that they only can see prophet with the reward of divination. Praise the Lord. Any prophet? Madweke, how did they see you? Nothing. 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 Amen. And when you do that, you are cheating yourself. Praise God. You see, there is a way God has made ministry. You know, you have the man. You have the man. And you have the gift in the man. When the man does not position himself, the gift will not flow. I want you to note that. When the man does not position himself, the gift will not be effective. You see? And so, you can ginger the man. It's to ginger the man. That's why when you are coming before a servant of God like that, to use his gift, you come with a gift. That gift will position him. That's the truth. God knows it. That's why he said, don't come empty-handed. So that gift will not be disturbed. Because as you enter finish, you go, look, this one, are they here since morning? What do you say is your problem? It's done. It's done. You can go. It's done. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Next. But the person that entered with a nylon bag, you go, say they tear before they want to come out. Madrek, am I correct? I'm correct. Okay.
Sir, my second question is concerning the payment of tithe. These days, when you want to pay your tithe, you now pay into that church account. And the GO is only signature to that account. So I want to know whether...
The GO is what?
The only one signatory to that account.
Yes.
So I want to know whether that is how it's supposed to be.
Well, you see, listen carefully. There are some, you see, the church is evolving. The church is evolving. The present setting of the church now is not the same setting of the church we see in the book of Acts. I want you to note that. And every church is allowed. There's nothing wrong with any church setting up her local administration, her setting, that she thinks is the best way to move the church forward. The motive is what God judges. I want you to note that. Now, sometimes people want to compare this church with other churches. God will judge all of us for whatever system we adopt. Now, in this church, the overseer here is not signatory to any church account. Now that does not mean that somebody else somewhere there in another church who becomes the sole signatory to the church account is wrong depending on the motive for doing it. I think that answers the question. But I want you to know that the church is not anybody's personal empire. And you must not run the church the way you run your business. It's very important. Yes, sister.
God bless you, sir.
You know why I say so? Some of you, you expect me to blast them. You expect me to blast them. Let me use this opportunity to explain something for you. Praise God. Listen, church. When a church is very small, they go to preach. They go to condemn the bigger ones. The problem you, a small church of 100 people, 200 people, you face, is not the same problem that the bigger churches have. It's true. Though we know that carnality has entered and then people out of selfish motives have hijacked genuine systems, but it is still a fact that the local exigencies determine whatever system you want to set up. You see, in this church, I have condemned so many of these people when we were small. Now that we are growing, I am now understanding some things. I have asked God to forgive me since. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we found credible people to manage our church finances, the past six people, that is, since the church started, we have asked deacons, six sets of deacons, some of them 2 years, some of them 4 years, some of them will stay, you know, like that. Then another set will come in like that. And make I just keep quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The highest corruption, the highest level of corruption was among some of those sects. Especially the last two that left. The highest form of corruption. And that's why I believe there are serpent seeds. No fear. No fear. And I want to know, because I am not signatory, I don't manage the account. But one thing will lead to the other. When in December, 2 years ago, is it 2 years ago, Pastor Thomas? 2 years ago? Two Decembers ago. Eh? 2 Decembers ago. The ministers were coming to my office in December. Daddy, up to now, no allowance. Christmas is next tomorrow. Up to now, no. I said, they never give an allowance. I say, hey, why? And then call the deacon, find out what is happening. I say, go and bring all your accounts. I want to see it. The whole of this church, as at 28th of December, the whole of this church, the whole in the bank and in their drawer for here, everything this church had 35,000 naira. So you see why I say, no wonder some Jews now by themselves. While that was going on, our road here was not passable. While that was going on, everywhere here leaking everywhere. While that was going on, we can't even fix our vehicles. While that was going on, we can't fix generator. We can't buy fuel. Every time, what is happening? They can say, these people, they don't bring money. Pastor, talk to them. Me, I go talk here. Who can I bring money now? Bring money now. A chopper. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when I had to sack all of them, I just told them, go, it's between you and God. They go. 3 months when we reorganized the setting, 3 months after, this road was fixed. The same people who say no money, the new people that took over now, more honest, you know, sincere people now, they fix the road, fix everything. Yeah, you see the whole place changed. Praise the Lord. That's why I said, hallelujah. They could not increase the minister's allowance. They could not pay house rent for ministers. Every month, we will come and be begging people, bring money for house rent. We will beg, 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 beg. We go raise up, we need 200, we go do for one person. We go do for one person. But these new people that took over now, headed by Dikin Obina, he has increased the allowances of the ministers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They bought us a brand new generator. The same come on, the same we collect here. Praise the Lord. So I'm not using that as an example. When you see ministers that blow siren with mobile police everywhere, we have stayed here, we have abused the entire. How can a man of God surround himself with security? Hey, wait, mess. Before you condemn them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was at the altar here preaching, somebody fired a bullet. Is it 3 years ago? 3 years. The bullet scattered the microphone. And when we took it to the police immediately approved mobile police to follow me. I was the one that stopped. I told them, no sir, person who won't kill me, no be church he go come. He go follow me at the Wakafo Road, at the for my house. They want to kill me, why would you, na church go come kill? I say, now something else they want to do for church. But I'm just saying that as an example. You have had men of God that are cornered and assassinated because another church is jealous of him, or another pastor is quarreling over something, or he has torn away some members from him, or one thing or the other, maybe he has dismissed one minister, or he has taken one action and somebody is saying, I'll finish you. It's possible. Praise the Lord. So whatever is the motive, leave them and God to judge them. They know it. Because when we were small, when we were small, smaller than this, when we started growing a little bit, some few years back, before we moved to this site, there was a camp that we went. The whole church went to the camp at the Assemblies of God. I don't know what the people saw. Who was there? Thank you. The people, you know, Gentiles. I don't know what they saw around me. And everybody rushed just as we closed to touch me. And there was stampede. In fact, they would have suffocated me to death, the crowd. The coordinators, the ministers, the security fought hard to tear me away, put me in a vehicle and run away. 2004, thank you. And from then on, the security decided to mount heavy security around. The second time again, it happened. So we had to use trick. Before the share the grace finish, I jump out. A car will stand by the door. And I enter and I run. They still block the car and did whatever they did. It took time for the security to tear them away. So that is the reason why they came back. Whereas service is going on, if you come near the pastor, until you jam out, you go take up. But we tell them to keep relaxing it, keep relaxing it. Now you are aware that somebody in December, somebody entered Christ's embassy with a bomb. When they were doing Thanksgiving offering, he was standing at the altar. But he took the security with the gadgets to detect bomb. When the person was passing, the thing alarmed. They had to stop him. What he carried was a letter bomb. So when you see him with wicked security, you say, what will happen? You know how many people are after that man. You know how many people are after him. So he should secure himself. Or if you go to synagogue and you see the type of, you know, wicked looking, white looking mobile policemen all around there. You know, there are Oyibo people that come there, foreigners come there, personalities come there, they cannot allow people to move anyhow there. And the man too, they don't like him. So he needs security. So whenever you are condemning the internal arrangement of any church, be careful. Remember, it is God that judges. God bless you. Yes.